Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man here on Tuesday, November 12th, on a cold day here in Michigan by November standards. The only time it should really be like this, based on a daily basis, if at all, based on average day time temperatures, is in January. But even in January, I want to say on average, the lowest average daytime temperature for here in Midland, Michigan, I want to say is like 29 degrees, maybe 30. Today, we only hit like 24, 25. We had a low of 9 degrees this morning. We have a low of approximately 9 projected this morning again here in Michigan. And this kind of cold weather is around much of America. I've been getting alerts from a news channel that I follow down in the Chattanooga, extreme north Georgia area. And I have been getting alert messages telling me that certain school districts down there are deciding to delay the start of classes by 2 hours. And this is with evening temperatures in temperatures of like 12, 13, 14, 16 degrees. I'm sure the wind chill, though, with some of these is probably kind of close to zero. I haven't really looked at it lately because I don't like looking at the weather if it's supposed to be really cold. I don't. I'd rather read about how hot it's been or how mild it's been, like, by winter standards. You say on average, you say, well, Miracle Man, if you've said that that Chattanooga is one of your favorite cities, is it still the case? Oh, yes. And the climate down there is still much warmer than up here on average. It is true, though, that sometimes some of these cold fronts will find its way, way down south. This one has found its way all the way down to almost near Miami. Maybe Fort Myers. I didn't look at that specifically, but Southeast Florida is still doing fine, warm, close to 80 degrees. But if it is to do, the only time of year that I would ever think of wanting it to be like this would be the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Including Christmas Day, by the way. But not after. Because of songs that we sing about the holidays, about I got my love to keep me warm, and certain things like that, and you're in your house around the fireplace, maybe you actually found a way how to put some chestnuts on the fire. Needless to say, generally, between Thanksgiving and Christmas is the only time I would ever want weather like this. Would you not even want this done, Brittany?
What?
Would you want weather like this even in December, or not even close?
Close to Christmas, yeah.
But that's it.
That's it.
That and the snow. That's it. Then it's almost better if it's like this than if it's 60. Don't you think?
Yeah, for Christmas.
Yeah, or on Christmas, or even through most of December, until you get to the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
Because then when you're, like, I find that if it's real cold outside in the summer, I'm welcome to the cold, but then I get into that nice warm car and the Christmas music's on. That's, like, one of the best feelings. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Especially if there's a holiday pie from McDonald's waiting for you there. Well, as you can tell, listeners, I'm this cold. If it's doing one thing, it's kind of pumping me up for the holidays. But other than that, I wish it would get away. This cold makes it feel more like Christmas time than what it does Thanksgiving time, doesn't it?
Yes, definitely.
It's made you think about Christmas a little bit more for sure, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But then, I was saying yesterday that the warmest part of that forecast was towards the end of the 10-day forecast, which by then, right now, is only a week from Thanksgiving Day. But wherever you are, listeners, my hope is that you're staying warm, that you've checked your pipes to make sure they're not frozen. You know, make sure your heaters are in working order, especially in the South where you may not run them as much because... Listeners, I actually have an experience. So a couple of years ago, just after Christmas, like at the end of December, just about New Year's Day, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. But for whatever reason, our heater in the hotel room doesn't work. The first night, it's just fine because lows on the lower 30s, about right for that location at that time of year. But then something happened. The lows started dropping to lows that are not normal for there. And by New Year's Eve night, the temperature was real close to zero. I was going to go to the music note drop there, did not go because of that weather. Next day, on New Year's Day, we tried to go to a Macaroni Grill restaurant in the Opry Mills Mall. Opry Mill and the Romano's Macaroni Grill is shut down. You know why? Because the heat is not working. So those two different places in Nashville. Now, the hotel did take care of us, and they did make sure we had, like, heaters in the room so we could stay warm. I think the pipe, part of what helps us here is that those pipes are placed further below the ground here, where down there they're not. Can that be part of what was wrong, do you think?
Possibly.
Because up here we're made for that. Down there, and this is talking about Nashville. This isn't talking about South Alabama, South Georgia, or Florida, North or South Florida. This is Nashville, 9 hours away. And there was heat issues. So my hope is that wherever you are listening to this great show tonight, that you're staying warm. Because I know it is very early in the season to be having this kind of weather. It's November 12th, but to me it almost feels more like December 12th. The only thing that makes it not December 12th, really, in my mind, is the lack of decorations. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
If everything was decorated for Christmas right now, you would probably have possibly told someone it was December 12th. Huh? Wouldn't have you?
Probably.
Because of how it is outside. Some Christmas seasons we will never have it be like this. Even in November. But why is Mother Nature the way she is? Well, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate any of the conspiracy theories. I'm leaving them alone. I'm just leaving it with. It's cold. Please stay warm. You know, make sure you know where that winter coat is. Mine's right next to me. Just stay safe. You'll be fine. And when it comes to winter, us folks in up here in Michigan, we're some hardy folks. Some of you down south, when it comes to winter, I don't know. Now, us being hardy, that doesn't mean we love it. That just means we can deal with it. I can deal with it okay to go to a football game. Try to get me to go ice fishing, I will decline. Unless it's like nice and warm in the tent. And I have a seat to sit on and drink a soda. And eat some bag of chips or whatever while you go out there and look for the ice. I mean, look for the fish. Some people are ice fishers. I am not. Are you an ice fisher or anything like that, or not really, Brittany?
No. Too cold. I used to go when I was little with my dad.
So you guys have, like, a warm place? Like a warm... is the shanty... How equipped is the shanty, by the way? What's it have?
Fish and a little heater.
Oh, what about a radio?
Yeah, you can bring a radio.
What about or a television if you can pick up signal, like stuff to listen to or watch?
I don't think so. There ain't no plug.
Because some people they're done with the radio and they want to watch TV. You know, that's why I was thinking of that.
Well, there aren't any plugs to plug it in.
So the only TV you're watching is if you got a TV app on your phone.
Right, or your computer or something.
But you'll only be able to watch so much TV before the battery goes out.
Right.
So you won't be...
It'd be easier to bring a radio and some extra battery.
Yep. Rather than just forget about the TV. You won't be able to watch it. But... Because I know you're out there.
In the middle of the football game and your phone will die.
Or whatever it is you're trying to watch.
Right.
Whatever it is you're trying to watch. And you'll die. No, your battery will die. Excuse me, your battery will die. You might be feeling like it if your shanty doesn't have a heater in it. But... It's so glad to have you listeners with me, with us tonight, wherever you are, however you're tuned in. And tonight, as is generally the case with Tuesday night, it is Testimony Tuesday. Now, the other night, I went down to see... a guest speaker. Rodney Howard Brown. He is doing a 300 city revival tour. You know, to call the world the revival. And he has seen the fire of the Lord hit many people. He has seen many thousands of people giving their lives to Jesus Christ. And others who have the fire are spreading it. They're telling people about Jesus. And the greatest miracle of all, listeners, the greatest miracle of all, the greatest miracle that can happen in your life is your salvation. When you ask Jesus into your life, ask him to live in you. Ask him to lead you and guide you, help you as you go through this life. And pray the prayer of salvation. And you allow God to live in you and lead you and guide you. You know, that's the greatest miracle of all. Why? Because your soul is saved from sin. You're saved from the devil. You're saved. Well, I'm saved so I can do anything I want. And no. The Bible says we have to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. But one after tonight is this. If one person wins a soul, and that person wins another soul, then that person goes out and wins another soul, that person goes out and wins another soul, and another one, and another one, and another one. Who knows how many? Because you won one soul, you could be winning 20. I mean, 10, 20. And one of the goals of this Miracle Man show is to see people give their lives to Jesus Christ on this show. In my mind, it's a priority. It's an extremely high one. And if I can save somebody's soul from hellfire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, it's worth it. Because, let's face it, heaven is for real. So is hell. Hell lasts just as long as heaven. So I just want to encourage you. And that to make sure that you're getting people born again. Because God has called all of us to reach out to people. The Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. That's talking about humans. Well, you're not going to reach your dog, your cat, your moose, the mice, the mouse trap, a mosquito, a hornet. No. That hornet might bite you harder. Well, you know. But it's talking about humans. Oh, by the way, something Rodney Brown said the other night, I've heard it many times before. I will say it. The only thing that you can take with you to heaven is people. I will say it again. The only thing that you can take with you to heaven is people. Yeah, in my father's house, 70 mansions. Well, it's great to dream about the things we want to see in heaven. On a mansion, like I can visualize a lot of, see in my mind a lot of what I want up there. Really thick, soft carpeting. You know, some of the greatest blankets imaginable. It's not going to be cold up there, but at least I'll be the super soft blankets in my mansion, at least. No, you don't get to come into my mansion and steal mine. It's up to you what you want. God gives us the desires of our heart. You know, I imagine delicious hot donuts. In heaven, we will all look very beautiful. We do not age one bit. You want to know what else in heaven? You're the perfect specimen. You're not too skinny. You're not too heavy either. You're just perfect specimen. You're exactly how God intended you to be. Because in heaven, nothing is corruptible. So you get to choose. Do I want to live in an eternal paradise with God? Or am I just going to choose to, no, I don't want to be, I'm not going to obey God. I don't want to accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. There's too many demands. I got to go to church. Well, you can do certain things and repent and make heaven. I'm not saying you should at all. The truth is we should live as clean and as pure as we possibly can. But if you decide I will not accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, you can forget about heaven because you won't be there. Because you will be damning your soul by choosing to not accept Jesus. And accepting Jesus Christ in your life by accepting him in your life, you're activating all the benefits that Jesus has for you. Deliverance, freedom, healing, the wisdom of God. I mean, you know, there's natural wisdom, but there's another wisdom much higher, the wisdom of God. And we've been dealing with wisdom lately in Proverbs. I'm going through Proverbs lately. Tomorrow night we're going to pick that back up. And I don't know about you listeners, but I'm enjoying going through Proverbs. I really am. And what's in there is just golden. Golden truths. What about the other books? Yeah, there's a lot of great books. I love the Word of God. I love what it's done in my life. but there's so many great things in the book of Proverbs. You know, just the things it shows you. Fathers to sons, mothers to children, people to other people. It's just awesome. And I like to read things. So, let me just check the clock. But real quick, before I talk about how to listen to the show and that, there's something I want to tell you. What it is, what I want to tell you is this. Revival will not start because you asked for it. You can scream for revival all you want. Revive this country! Revive this country! Revive this country! Revive our planet! Well, and that's good to yell that. It's good. Good confession. But revival will start when the people start seeking God and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. When they begin to repent of their sins. When they decide that the thing they want most is you. When they lay away their distractions and decide that the most important thing in their life is God. That is when revival can happen. When the church is asleep and lukewarm, when there is a lot of apathy, for the power levels. I mean, God still moves, but when people allow the devil to take their shout away, when people are deciding that something else is more important than God, that's a bad sign. When people repent and pray and sing unto the Lord and increase their fervency, that's when revival hits. The fire of God. And you got to lay away your distractions. When you go to prayer, don't be looking at your phone while you're praying. Mm-mm. Turn it off. I don't know of a notification that's anointed. Now, oh, weather advisory on your phone? That can wait for a few months. What I want to get to you is that we want God to move in our churches and in our lives. We show that by prioritizing Him, making sure that we are in church and being a part, making sure that we do what God has called us to do. Praise God. I just felt like there was some stuff on my heart that God wanted me to challenge you about. Amen. Well, so we're going to study the Bible tonight in Acts chapter 3. We're going to talk about what happened. We're going to sing a song first, and then we're going to pray, we're going to go to Acts 3, we're going to exhort, then we're going to talk about sports briefly tonight, and then we'll have Football Central, tomorrow night. All right. So, song I want to sing to you tonight is I Surrender All. One of the old hymns. There's a good YouTube channel that I was looking at just earlier today, and there's a lot of great hymns on it. And, it's called Awakening Hymns. Awaken hymns. We need to get the hymns back into the church. And so, the one I'm going to sing tonight is I Surrender All. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. To him I freely give. All to Jesus I surrender. Everything, Lord, in your presence I will live. I surrender. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all, and I surrender all. I surrender. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender all to him, I freely give. As in my life, Lord, I will trust you. All to Jesus in your presence, I will live. All to thee, Lord, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. All to Jesus, I will trust you. In your presence, I will live. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We surrender our lives to you. We give you everything, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Thank you, Lord God, that we get to just surrender everything before your feet. Lift our hands, Lord Jesus, right now as a sign of surrender. Just giving him everything of ours. We give you our whole heart. We give you our strength. We give you everything that we're going through. We just surrender it all to you, into your hands. I thank you, Lord God, that we will always just stick with you once and for all, Lord God. I thank you for this show tonight, Lord God, for all of these listeners who have made the decision to tune into this program tonight. Thank you that they will receive something from you as we open up the Bible for a few minutes and study your word and learn about the great miracles, Jesus, that you have performed. And I thank you, Lord God, that these listeners will learn something. They will be able to apply it in their own lives so it can make a difference for them, Lord. And, Lord, I can make my confession tonight. I confess, Lord God, that lives are changed and saved tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that sponsors and partners come into the show. I thank you that finances come into this program, Lord God, that increases in listenership come into this program. And most importantly, Jesus, I thank you that souls, many souls, are coming into the kingdom of God, your kingdom, Jesus, as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Amen. All right. Let's open up our Bible for a little bit. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to talk about God does not want you to stay where you are. No, he wants to see you set free, healed, delivered, changed. And I want to encourage you to just follow along with me. Whatever I do here at McDonald's, you follow along with me wherever you are, whether you're at home or on the road. Well, if you're on the road and you're driving, just listen to me read. If not, you know, follow along with me and study. And then if I pray, you pray. If I sing, you sing. Praise God. Acts 3, verse number 1. And we're going to go through to the end of the chapter. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon, which is the 9th hour. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried by the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was for every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Actually, another version that says he asked for alms. But, yep, he asked for alms. We'll restart with verse 3. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked straight at him, along with John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "I do not have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankle bones became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and leaping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what they had seen happen to him. Next passage, verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all of the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colony. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness that we had made this man walk?" I'm going to address this in a few minutes, by the way. Just see what verse this is. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel," yeah, verse 12. "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? And why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness that we had made this man walk?" In other words, do you really think that we're able to make this man walk as a result of our own godliness? And it says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus, and handed him over to be killed. And you disowned him before Pilate, even though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and you asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that as Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from above, your own people. You must listen to everything that he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all of the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, they're your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless and returning each of you from your wicked ways. All right. Now, so you know, Peter and John, they're on their way up to the temple to pray. They're going to have a prayer meeting. Doesn't say what the prayer meeting is for, but they're going to have a 3 o'clock prayer meeting. And on their way up to the temple, they see a man who is standing outside right near the temple. The man who's lame, he's out there begging for money, for alms. And Peter and John, Peter says something really powerful. He tells them, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I have, I will give you. I have the name of Jesus. And he uses the name of Jesus, and he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So Peter and John, they help this man up to his feet. And then this man follows them into the temple. And he is walking and jumping, leaping, and praising God for what Jesus had done in his life. He had been lame from birth. I don't know how old he was. Maybe he was younger than me. Maybe he was my age. Maybe he was 60, 80. I don't know. What I do know is that he had been in that condition since his birth. And this man's thinking, I want some money. Give me some money. How can I get some money? I need to be able to go get some food and get myself taken care of. Peter and John saw him and they said, we don't have money. But we have the name of Jesus. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Just like I said a minute ago. And then in verse 12, Paul asked these people, why are you all acting all surprised that this man was healed? And he basically says, folks, it was not because of our godliness. It wasn't us that healed him. God healed him. It was the healing power of God. Peter was not the healer. He was instrumental. Jesus did the healing. If I'm at church, and I go up to the elders for prayer, and they say, in the name of Jesus, if they say, Rivers, in the name of Jesus, I command your eyes to open. Those elders are not the one doing the healing. Whenever the manifestation takes place, whether it's at home, whether it's at a service, or in your life, whenever that miracle takes place, whenever the manifestation happens, it won't be. It's not going to be from that minister or elder or that parent or that child or whatever. God will do the miracle. The other person who spoke it forth, or you, if you did it, you have just been instrumental. But you would be the one doing the healing, because God is the healer. He is. And I thank God for the things that he's done in my life. And then he goes on to address all those people about talking to them about basically how they said they chose to have Jesus killed and to instead have Barabbas released. And then Paul talks about how that they shouldn't have done what they had done. And what I want to get to is this. This guy had at first had been asking for alms. I need alms. In today's age, it would be like, I need another wheelchair. I need this, I need that. Well, medical science is great. It's amazing what we have access to in this day and age. But the ultimate healer, the ultimate physician, is Jesus Christ. Oh, you're putting down the doctors and everything else in the health profession. No, I'm not. No. And they do a lot of great things. But ultimately, as you ask Jesus for your healing, or for whatever other miracle you believe in him for, a new job, a new house, a new whatever you're asking him for, you know, in this case, it was obvious because they saw the condition that we're just going to call him. Let me think of kind of an older guy's name from back in the 1800s. No, not necessarily 1800s, but just a name that's a really older guy. Might be older now. We'll just call him Richard. No, Roger. So, Roger is outside, begging for money. Peter and John come up. They get his information on that way. And then, Roger, they say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Then Roger gets lifted up to his feet, follows them into the temple, and he's walking, jumping, and praising God. And everybody is all clapping and cheering and shouting. They can't believe what had happened. Other than, you know, Pharisees and Sadducees, which, by the way, those Sadducees, they are called Sadducees because it really is sad, you see. Everything they did to Jesus, telling him not to do miracles, that he couldn't heal on the Sabbath day. Yeah, all those controversies. And then basically said, he said everything, he told him everything he told him, and he continued to heal, even on the Sabbath. And you have no control You can't control God. God's going to move when God's going to move. You can delay the miracle. You can postpone yourself by not doing what God tells you to do. But you can't tell him, God, you better do it by July 21st of 2020 or I'm done with you. You can't do that. What you do instead is you continue to call forth that thing that you're believing for. And having faith in God, believing that he's going to do what he said in his word. Now faith is the Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it talks about all these different scenarios by faith, and all and the Israelites walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, and all those other great miracles that had happened in the Old Testament. But they let me just check. Sorry about that. We're still good on time. But what I was saying a minute ago though was, you know, because in faith is the substance things hoped for, evidence of what we have not seen yet. That man hadn't been, you know, prior to the miracle taking place, he had never walked. And he had to help, and it says that he had to help hold on to them for a little while to be able to walk. I'm sure a couple minutes later, he let go of them and was able to walk just fine. And God was showing him, you know, how to walk. God will show us how to walk in the spiritual realm, how he wants us to live our lives. He was another thing I want to get to is God doesn't want you to stay how you are. He doesn't want you to stay sick. He doesn't want you to stay with not enough. God does not want you to stay with I'm not where I want to be, or Lord, I'm not where you want me to be. God wants to help us. The fact that he's asking for alms makes me wonder. Thank you. You know, I really do think that the biggest thing he wanted was his healing. But when he saw Peter and John, I think he thought that Peter and John were just regular people and that they would have some money to give him. But they weren't. And they gave, I mean, yes, they were humans, but they had something much more powerful than some coins to help get him through the day, to help him fend for himself and eat and drink some water and sustain himself. And they gave, and what they were able to do was to say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And what do you know? He gets healed. But a lot of these people in there thought, in that temple, they were thinking, for whatever dumb reason, they were thinking that Peter and John did the healing. When the man was praising God. Praise God. Hallelujah. It wasn't, thanks, Peter. Thanks, Peter. Praise Peter. It was praise God. Not praise Peter and John. Praise God. God does not want us to stay where we are. He doesn't want you to just stay in that rut where you don't have enough, you don't have. The things that he wants you to have. He loves us. He cares about us. So the question becomes, am I looking for a miracle? Or am I just looking for alms? I mean, are you just looking for a miracle, or are you just looking for alms? Does someone just hand you something so you can stay where you're at? Just stay in that pit. So, you know, God wants to help us. He wants us to have the things that we need. He doesn't want us to be begging to be without. He wants us healed. He wants us set free. He wants us delivered from sickness, disease, from death, from poverty, all of it. You want to know why this is, that our God is like this? Because he loves us with his whole heart. He wants us to love him back by serving him and putting him first in our lives. Now, I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these listeners that are tuned in to this program tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you do not want us to stay in the spot that we are, unless we are exactly where you want us. But I thank you, Lord God, that we are going to go to a higher level, the place you want us to be. This way we're not just asking for alms. And I pray that we would just stop asking for alms so we can just stay how we are, Lord God, but we'll ask you to help us so that we can get to where you want us, Lord God, where you want us to be, how you want us to live, so that we can receive what you have for us. I thank you, Lord God, for these people who are listening. I pray, Lord God, that you would heal their bodies right now, that you would heal their minds right now, that you would give strength to these people. I claim that your blessing, Lord God, is on their life. I call these people blessed in the name of Jesus, with health, with finances, with strength, with life, with happiness, with laughter, with everything that you want them to have. Zeal for you, Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are just renewing us, restoring us, providing us with great strength. Thank you for that, Jesus. In your name, in your matchless name, amen. All right. Now, in terms of sports, last night, the Seattle Seahawks, they took down the 49ers by a score of 27-24 in overtime. Now, that game, the overtime period almost expired. But then the kicker for the Seahawks was able to kick a field goal so that the game didn't end in a tie. So that we didn't have another tie fiasco like we had with the lie down game a couple months back. You say, Miracle Man, why'd you call them the lie downs? Because of how they've been playing lately. But the 49ers fell to the Seahawks 27-24. There are no undefeateds left in the league as the Patriots lost a week and a half ago. But they come back and play in a few days. On Sunday, the Lions play the Cowboys. I will discuss that tomorrow night. So, I kind of wanted to address, you know, high school sports. Why are they so important? Well, high school athletes can learn things that may not be taught in their classrooms. You know, it really is a key part of a child's education. At the same time, some of these things that these kids will only learn if they play a sport. Teamwork, perseverance. I don't know of a teacher that's going to show you how to persevere through a test. Do you? They say how to take it, but I don't know of a teacher that's going to show you how to persevere through it. Nope, I don't. This idea of teamwork, what a team is. Oh, yeah, you'll do group projects, but it's not the same. But that's not the same. That's not the same as on the field where everything you do affects the entire team, not just your little 4 or 5 or 6 kids that are doing a group project. In fact, it affects the entire team. And there are just certain life lessons that I learned in basketball, I mean in high school sports, that are not taught very often in the classroom. So they may say, you know, are you doing classes a lot more important than how you do in on the field? Well, here's the thing here. Children, the high school students who play on these football teams, on these basketball teams, these baseball teams and what have you, they tend to do better academically than kids who don't. They do. And in other areas of their lives, they also tend to do better in other areas of their lives. Studies have shown this. It's not something that the MHSAA or other states have made up. It's been proven. And another thing, they only take up a small percentage. They take up a lot of money, but it's a small percentage, like 2%, 3% of a district's budget. Think about it. Only 2 to 3%. I don't know what all that factors in, but another great thing, especially high school football and basketball, they bring people together in a way that other events don't exactly do. In the city, that Midland-Dow football game, as far as attendance, generally, that's the biggest attended event in this city. About 10,000 people come. Approximately 1 in 4 who live here come. And that's what they say. And overall, in Michigan, more people attend high school games than would attend, you know, between all these stadiums and all that. There's more there at these stadiums combined than what there is at Michigan State, and at Ford Field. So, it's big. And these kids play for the love of the game. And it's about a team. It's not about individual agendas. Maybe sometimes it is, but it's not supposed to be. So this is all I want you to get from this is just, you know, high school sports promoting the value and values. By values, I mean sportsmanship, discipline, teamwork, you know, respect, and all these other great lessons that they're being taught. You know, love of the game. Same goes for middle school and other athletics. So I want to say, you know, school, high school sports is promoting the educate the value and values of educational athletics. And, you know, here in the state of Michigan right now, we're going into regional football this week. My congratulations go out to local teams who are still alive, Freeland, Sanford Meridian, Saginaw Novell, and others. Field's a lot smaller than what it was a week ago. Frankenmuth has lost. Ithaca is out. Midland and Dow are both out. Claire lost 2 weeks ago. There's been a lot of surprises this year. Really has. So I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick a couple of games tomorrow for high school, along with the Michigan game, the Indiana game. The Lions game, and another NFL game to be decided. In sports, the Pistons got a good win last night, 103-98. Still missing a couple of their starters. Hopefully we'll get them back so that we can get back to more winning, so that we can hopefully do better than getting the 8th seed in the playoffs, as all of the last three times the Pistons have been in the playoffs, they've been the 8th seed, and they have been swept. Hopefully they can start getting better soon. All right, folks. Until tomorrow night. Oh, another thing I wanted to address. Colin Kaepernick is going to be like at a certain combine event soon in Atlanta. And he's basically going to be demanding. I mean, he's really hoping that he can be accepted back into the NFL. I hope no team invites him. Unless he decides that he has had a total change of heart. A complete change of heart, and decided that he loves America. If he's going to be let back in, he needs to apologize to the American people for what he did. If he won't, I don't want him. To be honest with you, I don't want him back in the NFL. And I'm sure he won't be in San Francisco because they're doing just fine without him. But I saw something today about Kaepernick wanting to come back, and I just figured I would give you my my opinion on the matter. And you're allowed to have your opinion. I'm allowed to have mine. We just, so until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.